You do not know where I am now. It's at odd moments that I want to remember. There was nothing so stunning as to have watched you change. It took a long time for us to get to know one another. I saw your shoes each day. Doesn't everything end? I took in the sight of your shoes. Sometimes I want to remember the words. Each word. I never knew the fluency a language could reach, our language. The fluency of our bodies. It only meant that we each believed in perfectly corresponding illusions. In odd moments, I want to hear the thump of your pulse, your angry breath.
The Post Office, a one-act play by Stacey Levine.
Hello, may I help you?
Yes, could you please hold my mail while I leave town?
Well, well.
Is there something to fill out?
Oh, there are many ways to approach this.
Don't I just tell you when I leave?
Yes, it's just that right now I'm thinking, trying to assess you and how deeply you involve yourself in relationships and so forth, how far you usually take things.
What? Are you talking about my mail?
Or conversely, you may choose to do very little and let me take more responsibility than you. That sort of scenario, with one person clinging to the other in confusion, happens every day all over the world. But of course, you can always rethink things.
Rethink things? What are you talking about?
Yes, rethink things, since you're bound to wind up feeling a great deal of regret if you proceed. But that's nothing unusual, is it? Since regret is our constant companion in this world, albeit a perfectly natural one.
What are you talking about? Doesn't the post office hold mail for its customers?
Yes. Does that disturb you?
No, I don't think so. I just want to know if you can hold my mail while I go away. And if so, for how long?
Well, you see, that may depend. I can only hold your mail closely and respectfully if you leave our little town swiftly and promise to stay away.
Closely and respectfully? What do you mean? Can't you just hold my mail?
Wouldn't I want to hold it closely and respectfully? Wouldn't you want me to? What else are we living for? Nothing, of course. And the only thing that could wrest that ideal from me would be the streams of cruelty and indecision that continually dribble down my face and chin like milk, and which I heroically swipe away at all times with a cloth. So yes, against all odds, I can hold your mail. I can hold it with respect, too, since I have the inner substance for that. Though the most bitter argument of my life centered around that very substance which was called into question. In any case, if you want me to hold your mail, you must leave right away.
I am leaving. I'm going on vacation. That's why I came here.
You have a pretty tough demeanor, don't you?
Sir!
Which usually indicates heartbreak in my book.
What? This is ridiculous. Listen, I need you to hold my mail, nothing more complicated, so I can get on with my daily business.
I know what you need. I know what you have, and what you need, and what you lack, and what you have gleaned. Which is virtually nothing, let me remark, at least not up till now. Our needs must never intersect. That is, we will never have relief from this unbearable situation unless you leave. If you don't believe me, go ask the post office. The whole post office is behind me, and that is God's glittering truth.
The post office knows about me?
Are you an innocent, sir? Far be it from me to be the cock who pries the lid from the soda bottle with his beak, but, ha, you make me laugh, and wonder of wonders, you make me ponder the notion of independence. Don't you know the laws? Please, I am not speaking this way to harass or frighten you. In fact, that is my greatest virtue, that I do not harass, but instead coax and caress. My only wish being to gently hold my customers, delaying their inevitable long nights of loneliness and anguish to come. Hallelujah!
Please, I need to leave. I need you to hold my mail. Why is this so difficult?
Yes, I hold mail. I hold it as a habit, a hope, a prayer against the nascent heartache that could fall upon us and probably already has, like the ineffable notes of a terrorist's bassoon. Yes, I hold it carefully, ponderously, with full knowledge of the great responsibility therein. But how can I make myself more clear? The laws are such that you must leave here and never come back. Otherwise, it's obvious the post office could not function.
I am going away. I've already planned my trip. That's why I'm here.
I don't for a moment believe that, but I'll commend you nonetheless. The entire post office commends you. Please, go away. For if you stay, what but aching heaves of regret will arise. In fact, they have already begun. I know this because I am as a highly sensate nerve, and I don't want you here. Not you, nor your moisture-filled bowels, nor any of the thousand inelegant and lackluster details that come to mind when your image is conjured up.
What? How dare you? Who are you?
Why, I am an artist and a dancer, with all the artists in the world either bludgeoning me in the side or abandoning me, God a mercy.
What are you saying? What are you? Do we know one another? No, we don't at all.
Why, yes, we do know each other. It began with a friendly dinner. No, a breakfast it was, at a long table, girded by benches and sumptuously laden with Viennese delights. Soup, sauerkraut, souffles, and a golden sauce, complex as a prelude, which the cook personally drizzled upon our plates with the intensity of a godmother. He is the most relaxed man I know, and enamored of whipping cream, as it happens. Oh yes, there were figs, brioche, and a dreadful Viennese pair of scissors whose very shape, which we perceived anthropomorphically, portended regret I alone knew. And there were enormous pitchers full of warm milk, too, which we drained down our open throats in greasy torrents as a kind of denial, a naysaying against regret.
What?
Yes, and I said on that day, oh, this milk is perfection. There must be a cow close at hand. And there was a lone cow with her encephalitic son.
What is happening? I've never seen you before today.
Oh, maybe it wasn't you. Maybe it was a Lalo. But still, there it was. A marvelous meeting place with our friends. Though we could not, in the end, fend off our feelings. Even on that day, I was full of heartbreak. A condition brought on by a lifetime of interdiction. And the aging dark cloud I happen to love, named Melvin. What is the most regret-laden state a human being could be in? That was myself on that day. On that day, regret was evident throughout the entire room, on the faces of my friends, even in the bowl of unctuous strawberries. Later, from the toilet, there came a ringing sound. Ting, ting.
Please, I'm tired. Let's go over it once more, because I need my mail to be held. I need everything arranged by Monday so I can leave. And the truth is, I don't even want to go, because it makes me nervous when my daily schedule changes. Oh, I don't know what I should do to help myself, but right now I'm just not catching on. I'm confused, but that's probably my fault. I often don't catch on to things, so please, blame me all you like.
Fine.
Oh, good. Now, please, the mail.
Do you realize how little time we have and how much of it we've wasted?
But you're the one taking so much time. Don't you understand what I'm asking you? Just for you to hold my mail while I'm away. And I may be wrong, but I feel that you've insulted me.
Now, sir, I am not the kind who would hesitate to give even generous kisses to customers who needed them and so much more. Yet I have never seen the likes of you who have come into the post office this way with such astonishing duplicity.
Duplicity?
Yes, duplicity. You know what I mean. You above all know of the machinations you employ, many of them of no longer duration than a robin's fart, to conceal heartbreak, to deflect, to deceive, and surely more. You came to my table and stated your needs, yet inside you feel crushed, loveless, and alone, don't you? Why haven't you owned up to these feelings? You see, to me, that's strange.
How could I? Please, I'm sorry, I'm just feeling not myself. Please, the mail.
Of course you're not yourself. By the way, have you recently been, you know, gratified?
I thought we were going to get on with our business.
Because I notice right now that you are physically tense, and that you have a ring of light around the pithy, wheaty irises of your eyes. I am not saying that your eyes appeal to me in an aesthetic way, nor would they ever in 10 millennia, nor if the earth were to bulge and turn over and expel us into the cold would your eyes appeal to me. But I merely mean to illustrate that this type of ring around the irises usually reflects information about the individual's desire, whether ignited or broken. Have you been? You know, gratified. I need to know.
No.
Ah, I thought not. How miserable. And it's so very, very obvious.
Please. The mail.
Yes, yes, the mail. We'll hold your little desiccated, unwanted pieces of mail for you. Don't worry.
Oh. You will?
But before we do, let me suggest, just as an aside, that you are broken-hearted.
No, that's not true. And even if it was, what business of yours?
I encourage you to weep. Please, it would make me happy to see you weep. I once wrote a song about weeping. Oh, I've written hundreds of songs. This one was for the oboe, shaker, and kettle drum. A miraculous song, so right, so verite, that sometimes I believe it was I who originally conceived of weeping, that sublime act which accomplishes several things at once. Did I? Oh, please weep. It may strike a chord in my heart, and to be honest, my heart needs to be struck in some way. Don't mention that to anyone. I don't usually reveal such things, but curiously, at this moment, I have. Please, now, it is time for you to weep.
Just stop talking. This is the end. Give me the forms. The game is up. What do you know about me? What could you ever know? Give me the forms. I'll fill them out, then I'll leave. You can't keep me here. Besides, you've been wrong about everything. Stop talking. You're wrong all over.
Oh, my friend. Don't even think of saying such things in the post office. You know you can't even begin to sustain such a threat. You don't really appreciate me, do you? I apologize for not introducing myself. My name is simply Mighty. I often buttress it with unfrilly titles that speak for themselves, though in theory I am opposed to titles. My letter opener, a canny, marvelously complex instrument, is named simply Mike.
Oh, God.
Before we begin, tell me a little bit about yourself. Not because you appeal to me, but it might be wise for you. Come along, tell me anything.
Please, I need to leave.
And that is very, very good, except that you will not leave until Mighty can hold you. Though not really you, but your precepts, and those just for a wisp of a minute. Not even a minute. Not really a second, either, but a different kind of minute, measured by the loose, haphazard bars of a song I have not yet written.
Oh, please, just stop. What about the mail? I need...
Yes, I know you need me. Or you might say my services. The beauty of this moment is that you have opened up a little bit to me. Oh, how close do you think we could become before everything is over? Do you ever wonder those kinds of things? Do you? Come here, sit down, come with me. What am I saying? You need to leave. You're only here so that you can go away. What else could be more true of our earthwormish lives, all smoldered by clay?
I am leaving. I was leaving anyway. That was the plan before I came here. And not because you say so. Don't talk me out of it. Don't even dream of it.
No, no, that is the furthest thing from my mind. We agree that you will leave. Though what will be much more interesting will be the moment of that first step taken by your hardened, moss-covered slippers. For I notice that you wear not durable, intelligent shoes, but slippers of a kind that girls wear in fairy stories. That alone is evidence that you do not live in the real world like most of us who labor to the point of drooling just to hold our lives in faint tatters. Now tell me, dear, where is it you plan to go?
Well...
Yes?
I was planning to go to Mala. It's sunny there, and I need a change.
Ah, I love the glare of the sun, and I love Mala.
I like warmth.
You do? Oh, how ridiculous.
Yet, I don't like glare. Glare makes me helpless. I cry as if I'm battling my own combustion.
Ah, I like that admission right there. I like this turn very much. Keep talking, keep talking. See, we're fast becoming close. That will set the stage perfectly for your departure.
I don't like the feeling I'm having in here.
Then tell me when you're going to leave.
No, not unless I have your word to hold my mail.
You have nothing to worry about. It's all in the barrel, as they say. I'll hold it.
You will? Carefully, like it was yours?
Oh, yes.
Oh, I like that.
Yes. Now, when do you leave?
It's as if you want me to go.
Well, yes. That's the law of the post office. I'm trying to help you.
You are?
Oh, yes.
But you want me to go away.
Yes.
Oh, God. I don't understand. Why?
Don't you know the laws of the post office? Besides, it will be good for you and for me. Oh, but we all need the things that are good for us. That's all we ever need, over and over. Why do we? I don't know.
You want me to go away.
Don't you like the laws here? You may not know it, but these laws are a blessing.
You'll hold it starting now. Today. You'll hold it today.
I'll hold it when you leave.
I don't believe you. How can you hold it if I'm not there to watch you? You won't hold it. I'm sure you won't.
The bargain is that I hold it just as soon as you leave.
How can I know that?
I'll call you. I'll say to you, I'm holding it, and I will be.
How will you know I'm gone?
I won't see you, and I won't smell the plethora of vines.
No, you won't hold it. I don't believe it.
Oh?
You can't. You don't even know my name.
Maybe I do.
What is my name?
Esther, isn't it?
My God. How did you know that?
And you'll be leaving soon, Esther, won't you?
I was planning on it anyway.
Oh, without a doubt you were planning it. You with your clinging, amorphous body and the scheming lies that pour from your pores like steam. Have you any understanding of regret and its terrible workings in the connipting valves of our hearts? Oh, what autopsies we'll make, with everything turned every which way in our bowels from all of these years of misconnections. Arteries braided, hearts weeping, secreting, necks and lips split and crumbled as if made of stone. Are you ready to go?
Yes, but I planned it ages ago for your information.
However you like to conceive of it, dear. Ah, I'm new, you know, refreshed in a word, relaxed. Do you know how often I have considered that, realistically speaking, the world is virtually mine? Because in a sense it is. Yet, at the same time, the burden that kings carry is on my shoulders. Why is this so? Could it be because, in reality, I am a king?
Oh, please.
Yes, I am a king in so many ways. Power, that is the marrow of kinghood, as old and natural as Brahma, as Elohim. Yes, I have a king's power, not only because I manage a post office, but because of my vast knowledge of the humble Eastern arts of defense. I know, for example, that I could fell you as easily as an Alsatian hunter brings down a thick goose. Not only that, but I know exactly how to apply minute amounts of pressure to quotidian objects, say the lamp behind your bed, so that you would become reduced to frustration and fury as I reached out and ever so slowly tipped the lamp to the floor. I can see you there in that scenario, on the ground, begging. Later, you would feel the regret, not I.
I'm leaving. I was always going to leave. I planned it at least 16 years ago. I did on my birthday. And when I'm away, I'm going to change. I'll become better. I'll grow and you'll stay the same.
Oh, you won't grow. Oh, no, no. You'll be the same as ever, believe me.
Why couldn't I change? I might change.
My dear, does a pea change? No. Does the tiny bumblebee change? I myself have changed, well, minutely, but that was an exception, an anomaly of winter. You see, my own surgeon refused to see me for weeks. which upset me horrifically. Talk about pleasure deferred. And all the while, he made umpteen unsavory excuses, each as thin as turtle broth, each to the effect that he wanted me at a wild distance from him. Can you imagine? And from the eloquent snows that covered us back then. How strange life was in that place. There were no houses, buses, picnic grounds, or trees, only taxicabs in place of these. So naturally I hailed them and rode all over town looking for my lost surgeon in hopes of restoring his true feelings and me. But in the end, we never saw one another again. Devastating. Dear, can you really begin to imagine what loss means to an adult? Still, I scarcely changed a whit, and I even came out ahead in that scenario. Because...
Listen to me! You're not listening. Why couldn't I change? What would be so fantastic about that? What laws are in place to prevent me from changing? Tell me right now. Tell me how bizarre it is that a person could change. It is completely impossible. Is that right? Tell me that. Tell me to my face.
My goodness, you dwell upon this, don't you? I'm awash in your fury, which I alone have grown and sown in less than a morning's time, and which I must tell you that I love. I love this fury of yours, just as I love my own work, or exceptional ideals, a stern, conservative hand, or simply a pair of pliers made in Vichy, France. Oh, it is with relish that I now order you to leave. Peculiar, isn't it, that you must go, now that we're at the height of something or other? Yet I've demanded departure from hundreds in my life, or you could also say I've demanded it only once. Think of volcano juice, which as a lone outlaw spurns the hoi polloi and departs in curls from the summit like wine. Such a florid, fabulous art. Wouldn't you like to drink volcano juice? I would. Say you would too.
You know I could change, and that's what frightens you. Say it. Say I could change.
I will not. How can I talk about something that does not pertain to me? Though I admit, most things on God's green earth do in fact pertain to me. Why, even the South Pole pertains to me, as does rich, dying Patagonia. Let me explain how...
Stop it! The fact is, I have already changed. I've changed since last November, I did. I was different then, happy in the way a child is happy, so unsuspecting and full of strength. Now... It's different. I'm down. I'm shaken up. I don't know. Everything is just so hard these days.
Oh, it is heartbreak that you feel.
No, I have no heartbreak. It's just that I carry something with me in my arms now. Something heavy and dented. It wasn't there before.
But that is heartbreak, my friend.
No, it is not. Listen, are you going to hold it?
I said when you go away.
Can I believe you that you'll hold it... Steadily.
Ah.
I have no other choice than to believe you, do I? Oh, why am I always in this position?
Because you're too weak to change.
That's not true. It's just circumstance and bad luck. My life has been full of bad luck.
Oh, that statement in itself illuminates your weakness, my friend. Lord, I love a day like this. This day is rich. Come to me for a moment and tell me when you will go away.
I'll leave in a minute. Right now. But first tell me... Where will I really be when I'm away?
Can we know that? Why, maybe, for the entire story of our lives is right here with us. All we need to do is discover the pieces of that story and put them together. Yet, half of those pieces exist in the future where we can never reach them. Isn't that just too bad, my dear? The upshot is that we really know nothing at all.
Listen, I've changed my mind. I don't want to go. I never did want to. You heard me say so in the first place. You'll never hold it anyway. I can't go.
Nonsense. Do you know I, a postal worker, a sexual and philosophical king, a doctor, a judge of life, not too long ago wrote a song, or rather a dark pastoral, meant especially for those in the world who cannot change when they really should. Later, I composed yet another work of music, this time for the concertina and bongo drum. How perfect it was. How measured... And in comparison, how imperfect am I? For even kings are imperfect, you know. Oh, the lyric is, though solemn, brilliant and piquant, and the music itself is comparable to a dynastic palace, varnished, sinfully corrupt, redolent with bright shame. Ah, I am drained. There are no more words to describe it. It is about a little girl who was wronged.
May I hear it sometime?
Oh, for the love of roast beef, you know you never will. You are so far behind me in life, in experience, that you will not be able to bear seeing me again. Yet it is true that this music was written for your kind, that is, the unlucky, which is very interesting, actually, because I myself am very lucky. Everything has always been mine. All of it is right in the cusps of my knuckles and in the gullies of my spine.
I don't know about you, but me, I'm always in the same old boat limping along. My whole life is plain and gray. Lately, I dream that both tires of my bicycle have been stolen. Oh, how I cry then, for I have no bicycle, only a water horse toy meant for a baby. Is something wrong with me?
Is there? Well, hop up and we'll see.
What?
Hop up on the exam table. Come, come, I may as well examine you, administer vaccinations, syrups, suet, and the like. Do you know what a ridicule pack is? Oh, you will. When working in this capacity, I go by the name of Dr. B. King. I will also check you for pleurisy.
My God, I once had pleurisy.
Yes, I know. Hop up then, 1, 2. We don't have time. Or we do, but we aren't matched well to the time we have. Time isn't the quandary anyway. Our problems are so obvious, and we are perfect at ignoring them.
By following the path of least resistance?
That's right.
You know, you're nice sometimes, I think. You smell like cheese.
Don't enjoy this, I beg of you. Or else enjoy it to ecstasy, but with your enormous hyperbaric head and neck already out the door. When will you go away?
I thought you were going to check me for pleurisy. What is pleurisy?
It's like weeping. That's only the beginning. Awful stuff.
I know. Do you know how I got it?
You went to the lake with your schoolmates.
Dear God, that's right. It was at Lake Zala.
I too have been to Lake Zala, with its thick silver surface like a reprehensible skin, omnivorous. And amongst the nearby trees, the warblers who stretch out their wings, all bloody, dripping with gore, as if the birds have preyed on warm animals instead of worms.
Yes, that is Lake Zala, no doubt. I don't know why they took us there. We were only children. In those days, I thought to myself, how can we children have anything to say to one another? We are worthless nothings. So I spoke to no one, and no one spoke to me. Every day was terrible. That day at the lake, it was like they wanted something from me. They were angry. They would have ripped me apart because I had no defenses, no personality, just like now. And Talia came up behind me as I sat on a chair, saying, "Don't you ever speak?" And she wrapped her legs around my neck, trying to squeeze the words out of me, shaking her thighs, pinching them. I don't understand thighs at all. It was terrible. I couldn't speak because my mind turned gray, just like always. It's unbelievable, the fact that I survived those days. What have we been doing here? Why did I come here in the first place?
Ah, you see, regret is everywhere, as natural as wood. And we know that because it exists in the very molecules we breathe. I myself have quantified regret with a torture machine.
What? How?
Oh, my dear, the whole post office knows how. What does it matter? I bore easily. All I care about in the world is love and its removal.
Renewal?
Removal. Isn't it time for you to go?
I'm afraid. And what about the exam?
I already did the exam.
You did? When?
I did it in the air.
Oh, how was it?
Fine, you're just fine. You have pleurisy like most people on Earth. It is merely a collection of tiny beasts stirring up hate in the lungs. Regardless, you must leave. Haven't I said so 1,000 times?
I can't!
But you will praise the angels. What is God for but to convince and to connive?
What about my mail? Will you, you know, hold it?
I will hold it as soon as you leave.
It's the law that you hold it.
That's right.
The law of the post office.
Yes.
Do you like to hold it? Is it good for you?
It's good for you to leave. I'm so sorry. I really can't do anything else.
I know.
I'm sorry, yet at once I am glad. Glad for the blithe stiffness of creation and the way things are.
Well, then I'm glad too. Though there's a lack.
There's going to be a lack either way.
How long have we been here?
Since my father was born. He was a loggy man. He adored string and fell to it just as a lover falls into the sea. In fact, our entire house was composed of string. Oh, why is it that I still remember him? My father was immune to grace. I surpassed him and opened my own post office. But these facts are turgid and old. Right now, you've got to leave.
I will be gone. I will leave town.
Ah, that's right. For a long, long time and longer.
You want me to.
It's just better.
Why do people go away? Do you really know?
Yes.
Am I beautiful, do you think?
Remember that day, the stuffiness of the room, the gray light, the worn brown countertop, the empty square outside. How could I not remember?
The Post Office was written and directed by Stacey Levine and performed by Dana Hansen and Jack McGuy. Music was composed by Laurie Goldston and performed by David Barnes, Laurie Goldston, Kyle Hansen, Beth Ann Harvey, and Matthew Sperry. The producer was Laurie Goldston. It was recorded by Doug Hare at Jack Straw Productions in Seattle as part of their Artist Support Program.